Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Renee King Sonnen, a former Texas cattle rancher who in 2015, after a spiritual awakening, left the cruel cycle of animal agriculture. After going vegan, King Sonnen and her husband Tommy transformed her husband's beef operation into a rowdy girl sanctuary, a farm animal sanctuary that seeks to rescue farm animals from factory farming. It is a terrific film called Rowdy Girl. We're joined today by the director, and that would be Jason Goldman. Jason, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you, Mike, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Boy, this film really pulled me in. First of all, Renee's a wonderful kind of host, if you will, kind of guide through the film. And I love that it's warts and all. I love the fact that her and her relationship with her husband, Tommy, we get to see some of it. We get to hear about the history. But at the end of the day, it's about changing people's perception and minds about factory farming, about eating animals, about the way we treat animals. So well done. So congratulations. What put you onto this particular project?
I wanted to embrace my moral and ethical compass with the work that I was doing. And having been in the film industry since 2004, I never really had that opportunity. And not only did I not have the opportunity, I never thought of doing it myself. So many people talk about finding what your passion is and going after that. And for me, it had been about looking for career opportunities and certainly earning money to have a sustainable career. But in 2018, after producing another original short film, I realized that I was at that point in my career, in my life, that I needed to merge these two things together. I needed to find a new way to tap into what my passions were and make my daily efforts in life with that focus in mind. And I went vegan in 2016. And this was kind of the first endeavor to bring that part of my life into perspective with the work I was doing.
Where did you meet Renee King Sonnen?
I started researching animal sanctuaries to feature in a film. I struggled with getting initial contact with a lot of them. Perhaps they get inundated with requests. I would imagine sometimes they're hesitant to let outsiders in whose intents and purposes may not be very clear. So fortunately, through a couple of mutual friends, someone connected me with Renee after I indicated that I wanted to find a sanctuary to do a film about. And that person who connected us, you know, indicated that Renee was starting a new program, which is RAP, the Rancher Advocacy Program. And after speaking with Renee over the phone, I got a sense of her personality, her character, a little bit more about her story than what you would see on her website and the media she's already appeared in. Learning about the Rancher Advocacy Program was a signifier to me that there's something else going on here, and a different way to connect with audiences about the cruel cycle of animal agriculture and the fact that maybe this really isn't the way we should be living our lives on this planet and how we should be interacting with animals on this planet. And her vision was intriguing and captivating for me enough to go down there, meet them, and start production on the film.
What was her, I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, come on down, but sort of those first couple of days getting to know her and Tommy, and what were the things, just kind of getting into the vibe, if you will, the culture of what she's created there. What was your first reaction as you were beginning this project and this really, this journey, really, it feels like?
I've spent a little time on farms. I had worked on a campaign for the milk dairy industry years ago. So that was my first real interaction with animals. I spent some time at an animal sanctuary in upstate New York, but this is my first time spending, you know, day in and out with a couple, particularly who were caring for animals in this fashion. And I really just tried to replicate or present how it would be if I were to proceed with filming, meaning I was not conducting interviews with them. I'd follow them around. I'd hang out with Tommy as he feed the cows, as he mend the fence. I'd ride on the tractor with him. With Renee, she'd let me sit on some phone calls and some interactions with her staff. And then ultimately, I would cook for them. Because, you know, when you're an hour south of Austin, takeout, delivery are not really easy options. And that was a way to show them how much I cared for them, appreciated them, and to make their days a little bit easier while they were putting me up for a long weekend. And it was great to just shadow each of them, understand them, and try and reveal my most vulnerable self as they were starting to welcome me into their lives.
Yeah, and that comes across in the film, and I want to make sure I'm characterizing the approach, the style that you use. It is a POV, would you call it a POV point of view, kind of? How do you describe
it? I mean, it's her point of view, but this is a traditional style of cinema verite, direct cinema, observational cinema. Those all words kind of fit into this category.
We see her recall her previous life and what brought her to this point, and we hear about the troubles that her and Tommy had for a while, and it's all very endearing. It's very, very much a part of just not just getting to know her, but getting to know why she is where she is in her life and her approach to our relationship to animals, which is very moving. And then as the film moves forward, we get to see her, the world that she's helped create around her. Tell us a little bit about that world that she's kind of the center of in a way.
Absolutely. She and Tommy have created a bit of an oasis. When you go to the sanctuary, my experience and the camera team, everybody that came down, you could sense that there was something different going on here, and it felt separate from the rest of the world. And especially as someone who agrees with their philosophy and lifestyle and vision of this planet and humanity and animals and everything, it was just incredible to go to a place where I could spend time with these lovely, peaceful animals and humans who shared the same feelings I did, and I could extract myself from a culture and a society that would encourage me to support the abuse and killing of animals. That meant that going there was always exciting and a relief, but also leaving would be bittersweet because within 30, 40 minute drive, I would see my first billboard for Burger King, or I could drive through Lockhart, Texas, which is arguably the barbecue capital of the state. Yeah. So it would suddenly come crashing down as a harsh reminder that even though the 100 plus animals that are rescues and living at the sanctuary free from harm for the rest of their lives are exceptions to the billions of animals that are killed on a regular basis. Yeah. But at the same time, the sanctuary is also very active. There's a lot going on, whether you're talking specifically about animal care, and they all have their needs and their routines and their maintenance, but also Renee's activity. She is a force of nature in a lot of ways. And she is constantly doing outreach, constantly thinking ahead, constantly trying to hone her vision of how she can open the hearts and minds of people throughout the world and get them to see things the same way she does.
Thank you. I think that's in a very important part of the film. She is, while she tends to the farm, she tends to her friends, her animal friends. She is active. She is proactive. She is talking to people at their where they are in their life, in the relationship they have to animals. And it's really beautiful to watch her as she talks. That there's one particular part of the film where there's a guy who's brought, I believe it was a, no, the cow, the calf that he brought in, and how he nurtured it for through its first few days of life, and eventually brought the calf to the farm. And to see her communicate with him, to see the interaction, you can hear the he can hear where he is, his reservations in some small way where he is and what he believes, but you can see them connecting. And that I think is so important. And I think it's a beautiful part of the film.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Sonny had known about Renee. Incidentally, he was involved with them acquiring this property when they relocated from outside Houston. So they had a bit of a shared history. And the fact that he knew to turn to her right away was something that I felt was really important to capture. His instinct was to save this cow and give this cow a life free from harm and slaughter. And I'm not suggesting that his operation is a harmful operation, but no matter how nice you treat the animal, they all get on the same truck to go to the same slaughterhouses. And seeing how she was able to operate with someone who was where she was from, and furthermore, that she could look into his heart and look into his soul and see that there was a seed, a kernel of something similar to what she went through, is just how effective and how wonderful she is as an activist and advocate.
I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Jason Goldman. He is the director of documentary film that is coming out here in Los Angeles on, I believe it's June 7th. It'll be at the Lemley Monica Theater for, you said 8 days, I believe.
Yeah. So actually, Mike, it opens the 6th at the Lemley NoHo for one night only, where executive producer Moby will be joining Renee and I. And then it moves to Lemley Santa Monica for 1 week starting the 7th.
Oh, very good. Okay. Thank you. And that will be posted, by the way. It's posted. You can go to the website for this film, Rowdy Girl. You can go to argotpictures.com/rowdygirl. And you can also go to the Film School Radio website with all that information there. And I'll also urge anyone listening to this conversation to either go to the NoHo on the 6th, NoHo Lemley NoHo on the 6th, or on the 7th, through that week, the 7th through the 14th at the Lemley Monica, because it is it's such a moving film. As I said to you before we got started, it really, as the film goes on, not only do you connect with Renee and Tommy and the people who are part of their life, but you connect to the animals that we get to know. And I don't think I've ever seen a domesticated turkey like I did here.
I would say Celie was part feral still at the time. She was very, very defensive, but of course charming in her own way. And yeah, you think about Thanksgiving, like the first thing you think of is Thanksgiving and how many millions of birds are killed for a meal that I imagine if you question 100 Thanksgiving enjoyers, how many of them actually enjoy even eating turkey at the meal, or how much for them is simply a tradition. And turkeys have rich personalities and lives, which will surprise some, but those of us who can see animals as individuals know that this is not a surprise, and that all animals have a semblance of personality, desire, and sense of self.
It's that sentient idea, the idea of the sentient being as an animal can be, that I think is the thing for me, the thing that needs to break through. You need to understand they are connected. They have, in some manner of speaking, family connections, understanding of their environment, understanding of the options in front of them for as they move through their lives. I think all these things, to me, make them bring them to the level of sentient being. And it shouldn't matter one way or the other if they are or not. We should not be treating animals the way we do, and especially eating them. I think at this point, I think we've figured out ways to be better about our diets, and also just the impact it's having on the planet. If there's one other reason you need, and that is the impact of mechanized farming and these massive farms that are just awful for the environment for many other reasons, which if you want to go into, you can, but this is a terrible blight on the landscape of the earth that we do what we do with them.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you take for granted the sentience of animals and their ability to have choice and control their own lives, the impact of farming is just, it's ludicrous. Anybody with a sense or desire for efficiency would see how silly it is to use a tremendous amount of land to grow food to feed animals. So you're losing land twice to feed humans. The amount of calories and food you get out of that animal when you consider the amount of water you need to keep them going, plus watering the crops. It just doesn't make any sense at a certain point. And certainly I can understand how people like eating animals. I eat animals for 3 decades of my life. And I completely understand that. I just came to a point where it didn't make sense anymore. Logically, it kept falling apart. Like how could we contribute to such egregious suffering of animals that are innocent, are unable to defend themselves, and that are still kind to people, even when they treat them at their worst? Multiply that by the environmental impact. It could not add up anymore for me.
Animals raised for no other reason than for our consumption. No other relationship to the world beyond that is reprehensible in my eyes. I remember reading Diet for New America. I remember when I first sort of was aware of the option. My mom was leaning in that direction when we were growing up, certainly. And then Cowspiracy. There's been a number of films over the years, more recently the films that are shot from the point of view of the animals. And I'm they've left my mind right now. I can't think of the names of them that were just simply from the point of view of farm animals. And if you watch these, it's hard to go back to another way of thinking once you've really wrapped your mind around what you just said and just the observational part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. I think everybody's a little bit different. There's certain tipping points or thresholds that you might need to cross in your life until you see things differently. And that applies to any philosophy, ethical, moral choice.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same as how we treat ourselves, how we treat the environment, how we treat other living beings on this planet. I think that it all is there. And I hope that this film can serve as a way for some people who are at that threshold or are still questioning why this system exists to help them put them in a state of mind where they can come to this realization the same way that me, Renee, Tommy, and countless others have.
Yeah. And I love the fact that it's told from someone who is in the heartland, if you will, of this kind of the farms that are raising animals to be slaughtered. I've seen a couple of films recently about farming and farmers, and they're so much in so many ways the heart and soul of our society as a going back to the beginning, how important farming and farmers have been. And I think winning those hearts and minds is going to be important. Now we have industrialized farming, which is another whole level of the way we feed ourselves. But I do think that farmers are getting them to understand this, and I know they intuitively understand this. I think that is a huge step in the right direction, and I can see it in this film. So
yeah, I totally agree. I think farmers are the best equipped to discern the right ways of humanity living in a symbiotic relationship with this planet, because they interact with the earth on a regular basis. They understand the earth more than most people do, maybe including environmental scientists and earth scientists. And I think that they inherently can see that there is something problematic in how we've set up our food system. That's why regenerative farming is so popular. That's why bringing back the old systems of crop rotation and how do we maintain soil health are so important now. And I think it's simply just another extension of letting go of these traditions of animal rearing that are working against those healthier aspects that we're trying to explore. I mean, when you take the tenets of regenerative farming and apply it to animal agriculture, suddenly we can't grow enough animals to satisfy the demand that's out there, which I think alone is indicative that this process is not working properly and should give pause and cause people to think more deeply about, well, if this doesn't work, why does it exist? And maybe we need to change and reconfigure our minds of how we grow food and feed a planet of billions of people.
And it does speak to the native people, the native cultures that all around the world have understood this for thousands of years. So
100%.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed the film. By the way, I think I've mentioned, maybe not, the executive producer of this film is Moby. And I know he has been very active in this realm for quite some time. So that's good to see him out. And he'll be there, I believe you said, on June 6th at the Lemley NoHo. And will he be joining you at the Lemley Monica on any of that run?
He's only scheduled for that first night in NoHo, which we're thrilled to have him. And as well, Mike, the film is going to slowly roll out beyond New York and L.A., okay. If people want to tune into rowdygirlfilm.com, you can see our latest screenings. We are still in a couple of festivals in Vermont, even in Sao Paulo, in Kiev, Ukraine during the war. People are still congregating, going to film festivals. We have dates lined up for New Mexico, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And working with Argo, we're rolling out a robust theatrical strategy and hoping to get the film out throughout the country. As well, whenever possible, me and or ideally Renee will come along with the film to meet people, to talk more in depth, and hopefully extend that impact and get people to see things differently.
Fantastic. I was directing people to argopictures.com. Are you suggesting as well the website? Go ahead.
Either way, yes. Argo's site has all the updated screenings, the film's website, as well as the theater, I'm sorry, the trailer, press,
okay,
additional information as well. Both sites are great ways to connect with the film.
So that's Rowdy Girl.
Rowdygirlfilm.com.
Rowdygirlfilm.com. Well, I want to thank you, Jason Goldman, for the work with Rowdy Girl and for your time today here on Film School Radio.
Thanks so much, Mike. It was great chatting with you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.